This is an Audio Wool original.
Thousand-year-old monument uncovered in Turkey.
Cell phones and Survivor are bringing down a New Jersey serial killer.
Hygiene habits of pilgrims were horrifying.
Authorities struggle to explain Canadian howls and shrieks.
I can explain it. Bugs on Mars or more disinformation? I'm Kelly, along with Byron.
Hi.
It's November 23rd, 2019, and it's been a weird week. You know what week it is? It's Thanksgiving week. You know what happens in Thanksgiving week? Families go and see movies. You know what movie everybody's going to see?
What's that?
Cats. No. And they shouldn't, because it's
Why
terrifying.
Why are you talking about this?
Well, because you wouldn't let me do it as one of my stories,
yeah.
So I need to discuss it. I need to fit it in.
First of all, you've Ron Burgundy'd the intro by reading my misspelling on the teleprompter.
Yes, it was important that I did that.
Okay,
but hold on.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, the truth is nobody's going to see it over Thanksgiving because it doesn't come out until closer to Christmas, but nobody should see it then either.
Why?
Because it's horrifying. Taking these amazing actors and making them look like terrifying nightmares with cat fur. The whole scene with Taylor Swift shaking herself as a cat.
It is
real creepy, but not quite as creepy as Judi Dench in fur wearing a fur coat.
Uh-huh, double furring up.
Like,
I thought this was our news show.
Who is Judy's agent?
Uh-huh.
Who is Ian McClellan's agent?
Okay.
Who is Idris's agent? I mean, honestly, this is the kind of shit we expect from a Taylor Swift or a Rebel Wilson, maybe even a Jennifer Hudson, but this is not what we've come to expect out of Idris or Judy.
I guarantee you before it comes out, they're going to do a Cats carpool karaoke thing.
Oh, it's so distressing. So the other thing that I saw this week, pop culture-wise, that was really horrifying.
Wait, what?
There's an interview with Pete Davidson in some magazine where
paper
he was
magazine.
The Ken doll.
Yeah.
Woo!
He broke the internet.
Oh, scary.
Now remember...
It was very scary.
Back to our regularly scheduled.
And then it reminded me of that because I was watching Click Clack Moo Christmas this morning with
insane.
The girls. And the main duck's voice in it was Pete Davidson. And
okay.
I thought, huh, Pete Davidson, kid friendly. Look at that.
I like Pete. What's the deal with this monument? And wait, back up.
Ha ha ha.
Turkey. Are we going with that?
Are we talking about that?
Are we going with that theme?
With Turkey?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I tried.
It's Turkey
Month.
I'm not going to lie.
It was a little bit more difficult to do that for this episode because, you know, pulling together some things that have to do with Thanksgiving can work.
Okay.
But recent events that have to do with the country of Turkey or Thanksgiving, it's much, much, much more difficult. But I will say...
News travels slow.
It does travel slow, but this story is like cutting edge. This happened yesterday in Kanakale, Turkey.
Okay, I'm sure that was wrong.
Yeah, it probably is. Northwestern Turkey's Ugurlu Zeytinlik, this place where a bunch of archaeologists have been working, and they believe that this monument is at least 8,000 years old. They're from this university in Turkey, which I'm also not going to try to do the name of, though apparently a bunch of Turkish universities have started climbing the rankings.
Uh-huh.
That may just be because Donald Trump has something to do with stacking the rankings. I'm not really sure, but...
Okay, so that's a ding. I'm not going to...
Structure is supported by 23-foot-long walls. Okay, so this is like not just a monument, but a ginormous monument.
Wow.
You want to hear it described?
I'm looking at it, but...
I want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture the opening scene to 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Don't remember. It was long.
You never watched it.
I did.
Really?
Yeah, the monkeys and the bones.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we go. The structure looks like an obelisk made up of two pieces of stone, four-sided tapering base, topped with a pyramidion. And I don't know what a pyramidion is.
I'm sure
it's
Sam
Owen. I-O-N. It's also probably a translated article.
Yeah, I think that's just a spelling error.
Anyhow, we're going to go ahead and just move forward with that. Ooh. Supported by 23... Wait, what?
Adjacent to the midline.
I think we're just talking about a pyramid.
Sure.
Okay. It's supported by 23-foot long walls. The thought is that people gathered here for some kind of rituals, though they are not sure yet what kind. This was a really, really big deal because it relates to Göbekli Tepe, which we have talked about before.
Yeah.
I don't remember what episode.
One was of it those a episodes. Turkish episode?
Probably. Göbekli Tepe was really, really cool. There was like a skull cult that basically practiced there. And so that would be a fun story if we weren't just talking about current events today. At some point, we should talk about the skull cult specifically there. Because it's so cutting edge, there aren't a ton of pictures of it out there. There's not a lot of information yet, but I guarantee you there's going to be more coming. And I am excited to see what else comes about, because some of the Halls of Record stories that we've done, or the interesting comparisons of pyramidal structures around the world, have pointed to Turkey as one of those hot spots, kind of like this one spot in Guatemala. There's a place in Mexico. Obviously, we've got wherever the hell Atlantis was in Egypt. There are all of these places that seem to line up as being hot spots for strange
energy.
Right. Especially ancient civilizations and what they did or gathered out of that energy. So I would bet that this is going to be another such situation. And I can't wait to hear what unfolds. So everybody keep your eyes peeled. For right now, at least 8,000 years old, maybe 10, could be longer.
Wait, how old is civilization? Isn't it only 2,000 years old? Wait, it's 4,000.
Oh, is it? I think it what might be consider? Eight. I think the crazy, the dumb fuckers think that it's eight. I'm pretty sure. Which doesn't make much sense either, because supposedly we rode dinosaurs, but dinosaurs, I mean, I guess they think that the whole fossil record was planted by Satan or something. Well, yeah. Or maybe planted by God to test our faith. I've seems heard that like argument too. Dumb motherfuckers.
Okay, well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of dumb motherfuckers, I got a story for you about a guy.
Some new information tonight now in the death of a college student from Montclair. Police say they have arrested a suspect in the murder of Sarah Butler. The 20-year-old disappeared days before Thanksgiving. Her body found a week later in a park.
But before I get into it, Kelly...
Oh, is this the bad one? Is this the one that we're going to have to recover from?
You might have to take a deep
okay,
breath.
Okay, and which... The story that I'm doing right after this, just so everybody knows, I'm going to talk about how gross pilgrims were.
Okay.
It's going to be really fun because it's another one of those, let's try and get some reality to our history about Thanksgiving. It's going to be fun, guys. So just keep your eye on the light at the end of the tunnel. You can get through Byron's report. Don't let it bring you down.
So before meeting a stranger, this question may pop into your head. You're not a serial killer, right?
Oh, that pops into my head when I come over to your house.
You might even sometimes say it as a joke, but if you were asking 20-year-old Khalil Wheeler Weaver, you'd be right. Details of his supposed crimes are coming out this week during his trial, where he's being charged with the murder of three women, attempted murder of a fourth, desecrating human remains, kidnapping, aggravated assault, and aggravated arson.
Sweet.
But how did we get here? Let's go back to 2016.
16.
A 19-year-old Philadelphia woman named Robin West disappears, but that wasn't entirely uncommon for her. She was known to do that every...
Really? Why? Drug problems?
A little bit. Also a sex worker. And according to Y.org, she was... It's supposed to be sex worker positive.
Right, but the fact that this woman was in a position where people didn't know where she was, that sounds like it's definitely on the dangerous end of the sex work industry.
Oh, good.
And perhaps she is being subjected to the will of other people rather than her own, which is what makes me say, not the fact that she is a sex worker.
Okay, great.
Just clarifying.
I appreciate that. She was a, quote, tempestuous teenager who brought her family happiness and heartache in equal measure.
Oh, sounds like a teenager, though, to me.
Yeah. Her birthday was around the corner and still no one could get in touch with her, so her family texted, called her repeatedly, no answer. And after a week, they reported her missing. September 1st, 2016, a body was discovered in an abandoned building that had been set on fire. It was burned beyond recognition and laid in a morgue unidentified for 2 weeks before dental records confirmed it was Robin.
Oh, man.
Which brings us to this guy, Khalil Wheeler Weaver. He was questioned by police, and he admitted that he had taken her out to get pizza the day she disappeared, but had dropped her off at a different abandoned house roughly 2 blocks away from where the fire was started. And police found him eager to help. October 22nd, 2016, Joanne Brown, 33, calls her friend from a number that wasn't hers. It was more than a month later that her body was discovered. It was found by contractors working at a vacant house. Her nose and mouth were covered with tape, and a jacket was tied around her neck.
Oh, God.
And that detail always messes me up. There was a scene in American Crime Story Season 2. Did you watch that?
No. course not.
The idea of having your head, your mouth, and your nose wrapped in tape is just horrendous.
Yeah.
She was last seen by a friend getting into a car after cell phone records showed that she'd received a call from Wheeler Weaver's number. The call her friend received was also tied to him.
Oh, God. This is really distressing already to me.
It's not great. She gave her own phone to another person and later called a friend from Wheeler Weaver's number to tell her where she was going. A man who lived near the abandoned building where her body was found said it was a popular spot for squatters. The man who declined to give his name said, quote, he heard some scuffling going on around there, arguing and carrying on. Yeah, she had been struggling with homelessness and mental illness, her mother testified. Joanne's body was discovered December 5th, the day before Wheeler Weaver was first arrested in connection with the murders. November 23rd, though, family members of a 20-year-old woman named Sarah Butler reported her missing. She was last seen the day before, on November 22nd at 8 p.m., wearing a black zip-up labeled Premier Dance Theater with orange stripes, large men's reading glasses, silver hoop earrings, dark blue jeans, a black headband, and tall black boots.
Oh, heavens.
She was a dancer. She was a very skilled dancer.
Oh.
And she was home from school as it was her Thanksgiving break.
Oh, my God.
There's your Turkey Day tie-in, Kelly.
Thanks, B.
She had borrowed the keys to her mother's van to, quote, meet up with a friend. After a massive manhunt for Sarah, her body was found on December 1st, buried beneath leaves and debris. Cell phone data allegedly places Wheeler Weaver at this location. Like Joanne Brown and Robin West, Sarah was also strangled with an article of her clothing. Her car was later found within a mile of Wheeler Weaver's home. But unlike Joanne and Robin, Sarah wasn't a transient sex worker with mental health problems, the kind that Wheeler Weaver believed wouldn't be missed. She was, though, a sex worker. And this is where things get a little Chris Hansen. NorthJersey.com reports that the family and friends of Sarah Butler, knowing her password, logged into her social media accounts and allegedly identified Wheeler Weaver as the man that she'd been talking to. They were using something called Tagged. It's a social network that I'd never heard of.
I've never heard of it either. What does it do?
Well, it has been linked to sex crimes and...
So stay off it?
Criticized for taking a lax approach to child pornography. Yeah, probably stay off it.
Ugh.
The two, Wheeler Weaver and Sarah Butler, had struck a deal. He offered her $500 in exchange for sex. And she actually had backed out of meeting him in person before... But this time she went through with it after messaging him.
Hold on. Do we know why she backed out before?
I mean, I don't believe she was necessarily an experienced sex worker.
Okay.
I don't have the details.
I guess that makes sense.
She messaged him, "You're not a serial killer, right?"
Oh my God.
Yeah. Sarah's friends and family made a fake profile on Tagged and created a person that they thought that he would be attracted to. Based on the people he had already made his victims.
This is horrible.
Yeah, and he bit at the promise of sex. An in-person meeting was arranged. When he arrived, prosecutors say he found himself face-to-face with police. Do you think they told him to sit down and have a cookie or lemonade like Chris Hansen would?
I want to know if they had cameras set up. I always feel like those cameras are at such weird angles. I mean, I guess they have to be because it has to be hidden, but it's still very odd.
Yeah. Authorities found that Wheeler Weaver had made a whole bunch of disturbing internet searches before meeting Sarah, including, quote, how to make homemade poisons to kill humans, and what chemical should you put on a rag and hold to someone's face to make them go to sleep immediately.
Okay, so I have to say, not the content, but the detail of those Google searches, very similar to the way that I search Google.
The sprawling sentence?
Yeah.
I don't think you know how it works.
Well, I mean, it typically yields pretty good results.
Really? But... Wow. He also reportedly researched how household chemicals like bleach and ammonia could be used to kill someone, and if it was possible to erase your phone data and avoid being tracked.
Really?
Always an interesting thing to read when people search awful things and then follow them up with, how do I not show people right. I search these things?
Right, that is the best.
Really funny. Another search was for a practice test for a police entrance exam. You see, he was a grocery store security guard. Apparently wanted to be a police officer as well.
Wow, yuck.
In the Yuck. End, yeah, it's really gross. Earlier this week, a fourth woman, a survivor only identified as TT, testified against him. A spokeswoman for the Essex County Prosecutor's Office said she claimed that she'd been drugged by Wheeler Weaver, who again had supposedly arranged to pay her for sex. The unidentified woman claimed to wake up from a drug-induced slumber in handcuffs in the backseat of the vehicle. When she came to, he strangled her, quote, choking her back to sleep.
Oh, my
Yeah. Eventually, she managed to loosen the tape by screaming and crying and convinced him to take her to the Ritz Motel in Elizabeth to retrieve some of her belongings. This is really smart. As she entered the room, she quickly closed the hotel door behind her and called the police.
Okay.
Yeah. But the police were apparently more concerned with if she was a prostitute.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, not necessarily.
Please tell me transcripts of those calls have been released and those people have been fired.
I haven't seen them yet, but I can imagine that's coming.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. DNA evidence for this entire case was scant, in part because he wore gloves and used condoms when they had sex. But he has been tied to all of the victims by being with them on the last day of their lives or being in the area with them and where their bodies were placed using pings from cell towers.
God.
It's very interesting. The trial continues, but yeah, I have a feeling that this is nothing is going to bring these girls back. But I think that this is an open and shut case and that there will be a little bit of justice for them.
When is it supposed to be?
I'm not sure when it's going to be over, but it's ongoing right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean,
maybe we'll give an update.
I hope that not only the killer, but whoever took the phone call from her cared about whether she was a prostitute before they helped her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
It is rough.
God, what is wrong with
it? It's just another case, though, of the lesser dead. He, as gross as this is, he messed up by targeting this girl who,
right,
she was in college and she was,
people cared where she was.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh man,
I hear pilgrims stink.
Yeah, much brighter side, guys. It's always fun to watch movies that take place in the olden times. One of the first things I think of is how things must have smelled in whatever given scene we're watching, and let me tell you, pilgrims might have been the grossest. So this is obviously a set of habits they carried over with them from across the pond. Basically, their whole plan for staying clean was changing underwear.
That's
periodically
it.
Like, bathing was not really a normal thing. In fact, there are stories about when King Louis the 14th, I think it was.
Yeah, I actually know that.
Yeah, he took 3 baths in his whole life.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be too gross. But
now, they might wash their faces or hands on a weekly basis.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Nobody else really washed their body. So if the king washed his body 3 times in a lifetime, I know people died when they were a lot younger. Maybe this is why, because every germ in the world was spread. This is so gross. Ugh.
Well, it's actually good to not wash as much as we do. I don't want to be disgusting, but they say if you switch from like normal deodorant that we have with aluminum and all that stuff
to
a natural, you stink very badly for a while. But then when the bacteria...
That's what the hippies will tell you.
Okay.
No, and, but really,
and
I have
they
heard
just
that.
Get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like your nose acclimates. I don't know.
No, but I think that the bacteria or the microbes or whatever come back and take care of it in a natural way.
Maybe. I don't know that
I'm
believe
dreadlocks.
That.
Oh,
yep.
No.
Yeah, you do
I'm
look
like Medusa, but
real dready.
Meets, what's his name? Spearhead.
Oh, you be nice to my Franty. He smells very good. He does not stink. I guarantee you he wears deodorant.
You think so?
Pretty sure there's aluminum in that shit because he smelled good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not Tom's.
Definitely not Tom's. None of that hippie Schmidt stuff. None of that. No. I tried Native for a while. It was really cool. And I didn't necessarily stink.
I was
just sweaty all the time. And I was like, this gets gross. Like, yeah. I don't want to be like, bleh. Anyhow, I'll die of cancer from it, I'm sure. But anyhow.
Pilgrims.
Now, this is important. The separatist pilgrims may have even thought going underwater with their body was bad. Unhealthy, and they were never nudes, essentially. They weren't supposed to take all of their clothes off.
They're fut gay.
Yeah, exactly. They thought that this is what it meant to be clean. We'd change our underwear once in a while, and like maybe if something crazy was happening, we might take a bath. All right. Now they come to America, what we now know as America. The indigenous people who were already here thought these people were crazy because they constantly took baths in rivers and streams.
Yeah.
Also had really, really good teeth from whatever they were doing to take care of their teeth. Whereas all of these pilgrims, their teeth were like disgusting and falling out. Apparently native people clean their teeth using wooden chew sticks that they'd brush their teeth with. They would chew on fresh herbs.
Sticks. That's so funny.
Yeah, they would chew on herbs like mint to freshen their breath. Listen to this. This is amazing. They rubbed charcoal on their teeth to whiten them. And
look at us now. It's the year of charcoal.
Yep, it is the charcoal
year. I brush black all day.
All day, yep. But yeah, most Europeans, however, mostly didn't brush their teeth at all.
Look at these savages.
And the food they ate made their teeth way worse, too.
Cleaning
so,
themselves.
Exactly. So the natives are here and they're like, oh my God, these people are disgusting. What is
so
wrong with them?
Gross.
Like, they never take baths. They don't brush their teeth. Their teeth, it's mean, right? Apologies to all of our friends in England. But
if you're a pilgrim, I'm really sorry.
But no, but like, think about one of the worst stereotypes that we look
at. Yeah, baby!
Exactly.
Austin Powers.
Horrible Austin Powers teeth, right? Well, apparently there's some reality behind that. On Thanksgiving, they really should have just been getting some super important hygiene lessons in a health class from the natives, because
they learned about corn, but
they did not take notes from the other things. So really gross. It did smell that bad. Although on the continent before they arrived, it probably smelled pretty good because people were chewing mint, taking baths in rivers, and not disgusting.
That's good dinner table conversation.
Definitely bring it up. Yeah. Make sure that you shower before Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. And change your underwear. You should actually do both. You should change your underwear and shower.
Huh.
And brush your teeth.
Great.
Maybe even chew something mint flavored. Keys to a really positive Thanksgiving experience. And make sure your children are learning about history the way it really was, please.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Speaking of history and things that might have been around for a long time. Okay, just shouting right into that. There are some howls in the Canadian wilderness that are... Not really.
Isn't
what
that
this.
A good howl?
Well, it was fine. It's not what they sounded like, but yeah, this video—it's all over the place.
All over the place.
All over the place.
Mm, okay. Yeah,
well, news articles, people's feeds. It was in our Facebook group. A video titled "Strange Unknown Noise Caught on Video."
Oh, are we gonna hear it? Can we listen? Can we listen? Can we listen?
Yeah, let's have a listen. No, it's an actual normal baby.
No, I think it's a baby Yoda. That's Bigfoot in the background.
That's Gino Mikas' grandson.
It's a baby Yoda. Sounds like a sad Bigfoot.
So speaking of this guy, Gino Mikas. There's his grandson again.
Yoda!
All right, that's enough. He's an experienced hunter in northwestern Ontario. And this is him and his wife and his grandson are hunting grouse. And this is audio from October 3rd.
Fun, so he's hunting grouse with Yoda?
Yeah.
Why?
Yoda's gotta eat.
Oh, Yoda eats frogs. Anybody who's watched the show knows that.
Do you think that's enough? I bet that's enough.
I mean, that's pretty spooky.
Yeah, it is spooky. So yeah, like I said, hunting grouse, they're about 50 kilometers outside of the town that they live in, a place called Sioux Lookout, and they heard this howl. Obviously, people think this is Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, it's some type of similar creature, yes.
Yeah. In an interview with Vice, Gino said, quote, "We walked down a trail to see if we could find a bird, a grouse like he was hunting, and on our way back to the vehicle, it started. When it let out the first scream, I thought it was a moose. But my mind changed when it screamed again and again." And that was one of the thoughts I had. Maybe it's a moose.
Will you play the noise of a moose?
I could. You want me to try that?
Yeah, because to the best of my knowledge, any moose that I've ever heard sounds nothing like that. But I'm willing to entertain the possibility because I like to remain open-minded. Therefore, I think if we're going to present... You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a fucking moose.
Well, but what if a moose was doing longer ones than these? God, moose are scary.
Moose are very scary. Do you know once I ran into a mama moose with her baby moose and I was like 10 feet away from them?
I walked into a bear between her and her cubs.
How are we alive,
not
Byron?
Not sure.
Wow.
Something about us.
Wow.
Alien protection.
For me it is. I don't know what you're getting. But.
So Mikas and his wife paused for a moment, obviously, to record the sound that you just heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandson started howling back. That's what you heard, or at least what they interpreted. And that, for some reason, gave me chills. The grandchild was on site of all of this. It could have went very wrong.
That is really spooky, actually.
Like, even if it was a real animal.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Soon after the recording ended, they went back to their vehicles and say the cadence of the howl increased. Originally, it seemed far away and it appeared to move much closer. And then they said, quote, "I've heard many different animals in the wild, but nothing like this. I grew up hunting with my grandfather for the first 12 years of my life." In your experience, what do you really think this is a Bigfoot? That's like the only option you got here?
No, I mean, I always want to hear. So, case in point, this summer, Sam and I heard this horrifying noise across from our house in this wooded area, okay? I certainly didn't jump to the conclusion, oh my God, it's a Bigfoot. But I thought, God, that is weird. There's no way that's a normal creature. Then with a little bit of investigation online, I found out it's nothing more than a red fox.
Yeah, foxes make very strange noises.
Craziest, most terrifying noises you would imagine. So I'm not going to jump to that conclusion, but I am going to say two things. Number one, if this guy has spent a lot of time in the woods, he would have told us, you idiot, that's a red fox, which means he probably would know if this was something easily explainable. And even if he doesn't, I think we need to listen to what animal experts say who listen to that audio, what their feeling is.
Well, speaking of animal experts.
Ooh, do we have one?
I do have one. I have someone from Ontario's Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry.
I trust Canadians way more. Yeah. Let's hear what they have to say.
Quote, "Our biologists say it could be a larger animal, for example, a wolf, but because it's a considerable distance from the recorder, there's no way to know for sure."
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's reasonable to say. Do you think it's a wolf?
I mean, I gotta trust them, so I can't just say no.
I wonder if we do lone wolf.
Okay, it doesn't sound anything. That sounded like my noise.
Yeah, okay.
Right? That's a wolf. I can do a wolf.
I am going to say it's probably not a wolf, yeah.
So I want to hear some better experts. Sorry, Canada, but you disappointed me.
I'd like to see what everyone else thinks. I mean, the video has been watched over 2 million times at this point. Some people believe it could be a grizzly bear, but apparently that species, although documented in the region, their range is dramatically shorter than thought. So they don't believe it could be.
Well, of course nobody knows what it is because it's a freaking Bigfoot. Nobody just says, well, duh, it's Bigfoot.
They also think it could be a Wendigo.
I mean, maybe. I also think that Wendigos could be Bigfoot.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think we've went over that.
Yeah, it just seems to make sense.
You're like thin, tall Bigfoot?
Humans come in all shapes and sizes. Why wouldn't Bigfoot?
All right, that makes sense.
We're trying to teach our daughter not to say skinny or fat.
What do they say?
She's like, long?
Okay.
Bigger?
I take offense.
She's trying.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, she's trying. She got really mad when I was talking to my sister the other day and said she had a skinny butt. She goes, I do not, Mom. We don't say skinny.
That's very nice.
Wendigos are skinny.
So is your daughter, is she afraid of bugs?
You know, she actually is really good with bugs, even with spiders, which I realize are not bugs, they're arachnids, but she's not bad with either of them. Hmm. I have to really check my fear around her because I don't want to teach her to be afraid of those creepy crawlies like I am. I'm excited to show her a picture of a bug on Mars.
Oh, no.
Well, so let's back up a second here.
Is this like in Starship Troopers? Are they going to kill us?
I mean, I don't know that they're that big. I think they're supposed to be smaller. This guy, who's an entomologist professor at Ohio University, so it's certainly a reputable institution, put out the news that he's been really examining some of the footage from the Mars rover and announced to everyone that this is a bug. So he drew a picture and pointed out the head, the thorax, the abdomen, the wing. There was a fossil, and then there were some additional things, basically three or four different photos, and you guys can look these up.
Oh, wow.
It has it pretty well laid out here. And then some other people said, yeah, no, this is like the crazy people like that Captain Kelly who says there's a face on Mars.
Yeah, this
right.
Stinks.
And truth be told, I don't think that it's crazy to think there's a face on Mars, nor do I think it's crazy to think that there's a bug on Mars. But the way in which he is drawing an absolute from some pretty grainy footage, I think might be jumping the gun a wee bit.
I'm going to say unwise.
Well, and the guy seems very, very nice, but apparently Ohio University retracted his story pretty immediately and said,
no,
we are not going to go ahead and say that this is a bug on Mars. This was his actual abstract, okay? While any given image does not in itself prove anything, I believe the mosaic of what I have described is compelling. I view the research reported here to be replicative and corroborative. It is very clear that much more study of the photos is needed. Now that I would agree.
Duh. That's insane to just say, hey, this looked like a bug.
Right. But it's pretty cool. He gave his research at the super fancy conference that was held just last week in St. Louis, Missouri. called Entomology 2019.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, of course, yeah, these images will be in the show notes of this episode. Of course. Including the Bigfoot from before.
Yeah. Well, and you guys, if you have a chance, get a hold of those NASA JPL photos. Like, look at the ones where he's got them all labeled. But then look at the raw NASA JPL photos and see what you guys think. I always think it's fun to figure out what people see beyond, like, that whole gold blue thing that people were into a while ago with that dress.
Well,
people see different things.
I don't know. In this kind of situation, though, I can't do anything but compare it to looking at clouds. You know, there's no real reason to believe clouds are things or that bugs are on Mars.
The difference is we know what clouds are, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what the surface of Mars is comprised of because we don't have enough data.
Have we ever received a sample from Mars?
Oh, yeah, we've got samples from Mars, but in terms of understanding what covers the whole planet of Mars, it's a little more difficult
to say.
That's
true. That'd be like taking a scoop of Earth, calling that all the same thing. You're right.
Right. I don't think it's stupid to say we can't assume it's bugs. I just think we should look at it more than we might look at. But is that cloud really a dragon?
If there's,
it could be.
So, okay. Could very well be a dragon. And if there are bugs on Mars, there has to be something that the bugs eat, and there has to be something that eats the bugs.
Right. So, and in fact, one of the photos, he has a picture of a snake-like thing eating a bug.
Really?
He thinks.
Okay, this guy's lost his goddamn
mind.
Well,
I don't know. He seems pretty smart. I don't think he's investigating photos in a way that he thinks needs to be further done. Like you said, he wants it to be corroborated and verified by other scientists, so he wants other people to look into it.
Well, why don't we go to Mars?
And Byron, it's funny you say this because there's an article on space.com where they actually use the exact theory that you were just discussing.
Really?
Yeah. Pareidolia.
What do you mean?
Pareidolia.
The hell's wrong with you?
I think it's called pareidolia. It's basically where people see patterns in random data.
Sure.
Right? So it could be with clouds. It could be like Virgin Mary on a avocado.
Picking up rocks and being like, oh, this one looks like a...
St. Teresa on a piece of toast.
Okay.
You never know, right? And this is what they are saying. They pulled a guy from Oregon State University who does research in similar areas. His name is David Madison. And he said, I personally have pareidolia with respect to insects, beetles in particular.
Okay.
And he's basically acknowledging that he would need a lot more evidence of anything he was investigating from a foreign territory to be able to say, yes, this is a bug, because he is so prone to seeing the shapes of bugs and things where they might not actually be. So
what a scary thing to see.
Right. Everywhere you look, there are bugs. Oh, my God, there's a bug. God. There's a bug. Do you ever do that?
Michael Shannon over here.
Like patterns on the ceiling or like.
I got no time for that.
Oh, see, when I'm like staring at the ceiling when I'm trying to go to sleep, or I see lots of weird things like
when
this.
You finally decide to.
Yeah.
Oh, big yawn at the thought of it.
Whoa, God, that sounds good. No, it's Christmas time. No time for sleep.
Okay.
Because this is so recent, hopefully since he presented it at the conference last week, there are a lot more scientists in his field who are willing to review the information. I do think it's potentially damaging for him to say there are aliens because I saw these bugs. And I also think it's potentially damaging for people to write it off because I think it at least needs to be investigated further. So people, let's just try and find a middle happy ground. Do your research.
I think that's all I
can. I want to hear more about bugs.
Yeah,
well, more about the bugs.
Okay.
You know what's great, though? It doesn't sound like there are spiders. So thus far, Mars seems a lot less scary than Australia, which brings me to...
Uh-oh.
Lacey... One of our listeners in Australia sent us the kindest early Christmas package.
Oh, Lacey.
So appreciative.
Thank you.
Byron loves his serial killer cards. Sam loves his Tales from the Crypt cards. Mm-hmm. And my alien pin, if my daughters don't steal it before I get home, will be very treasured. Oh, I really appreciate it. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much, Lacey.
Thanks, Lacey.
And thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of It's Been a Weird Week. This is, I think, something we're going to be doing once a month.
That's our idea, right?
So if you have any stories you think we should check out, why don't you send us emails, contact@friday.com.
Yeah, especially crazy little local ones that don't necessarily catch it on something that we can find easily. Like, send it to us, because we love the weird little ones.
People take risks in those small towns
with journalism.
And I love it. And next week, we will return with our final episode of Turkey Month this year.
Final?
Yeah, the last one. The month is ending.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it sure is. It's
I mean, it depends on what day we record, right?
No, it's over.
Okay, well, then it's elf month, so that's fine.
No, we're not doing... Are you?
Yep.
What? You're doing like a four-part series on elves?
Maybe. No, I don't have that much content on elves, but I might be able to find it.
Well, until next week.
I was kind of joking, but maybe I'm not joking now.
I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
Have a weird week.
I wonder if I could find enough on elves.
You've been listening to an Audio Wool original. Produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.